Whenever we have a collect, that's the prayer that the priest prays at the beginning of Mass. Whenever we have a collect on a saint's day, there are three parts to the collect. Part one focuses on an attribute of God. Part two, on the virtues embodied in the saint's life. And part three, how this virtue can inspire us. So, an attribute of God, the virtue in the saint, and how that can inspire us. Now, with the structure of the collect in mind, listen again to the collect for today. O God, strength of those who hope in you. What is the attribute that's referred to here? It's the strength of God. That is something fundamental to his character that is imparted to us. And St. Paul, in that reading from Timothy, said, Jesus Christ, our hope. Paul, who was in jail, as he wrote to Timothy, he knew the strengthening power of God in his own life, as indeed did St. John Chrysostom. For listen now to the virtues of the saint that we celebrate today, who willed that the bishop, St. John Chrysostom, should be, first of all, illustrious in his wonderful eloquence and in his experience of suffering. His eloquence and his suffering are the two virtues being highlighted by the church when we think of St. John Chrysostom. So how are we to be inspired by the example of today's saint? Well, listen to the next part of the collect. Grant us, we pray, that instructed by his teaching, that is the teachings of St. John Chrysostom, we may be strengthened. Now listen to this. If you've got your missalette in front of you, look at the words. That we may be strengthened through the example of his invincible patience. Wow. Ain't that a great prayer? I would encourage you to review the collects during the day. Don't just read them at Mass. Particularly if you have the missalette, go over it again and reflect on what is being said here and ask that in our own lives that we would be inspired by the example of his invincible patience. So let's talk a little bit about these two virtues in the life of St. John, his eloquence and his willingness to suffer. As I said in the introduction to the Mass, that he had the nickname Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. And indeed, from the time he was a teenager, he had a profound gift at being able to communicate to the point that the greatest orator of his generation, a man by the name of Labienus, said of St. John when he was a teenager that St. John had surpassed Labienus in his ability to communicate. St. John was born in Antioch around the year 349 into a wealthy family. His father died when he was a baby. His mother was a very devout Christian. And because of his intellectual acumen, the anticipated goal for his life was he'll probably go into law. But as he came to his early 20s, he became influenced by hermits outside of the city of Antioch. And from around the age of 20 to 24, he lived a life of seclusion and prayer and great abstinence to the point that he got very, very sick, where after which he had to return to Antioch, where at the age of 37, he was ordained a priest. And for the better part of 10 to 12 years, he lived in Antioch. St. Thomas Aquinas, when he saw the city of Paris for the first time, was there with companions who were just taken by the city. And they said to St. Thomas, I would give anything to possess this city. To which St. Thomas responded, I would give anything to possess the commentary by St. John Chrysostom on Matthew. That St. John is the first complete commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. He also wrote commentaries on the Gospel of St. John, and the book that I think he loved the most was his commentary on Romans because of the way he was so inspired by St. Paul. One of the things that we're privileged is because he was such an amazing communicator, and he didn't have any, he was able to have people who were stenographers. And so we have hundreds of his homilies that were written down, and we can go online and read them today. Listen to the words of Mr. Goldenmouth. I should say Bishop Goldenmouth. If you cannot find Christ in the beggar at the church door, you will not find him in the chalice. No matter how just your words may be, you ruin everything if you speak with anger. Think about that. If we don't see Jesus in the poor, we're not going to see him in the chalice. We can pray with highfalutin language, but if we live with anger towards those closest to us, he says, your words are ruined. What about his sufferings? After he became the bishop of Constantinople, which at this time, next to Rome, was the second most important city in the empire, that he came up against a man by the name of Arcadius, who was the emperor. And he was a wimpy kind of guy, who had a wife whose name was Eudoxia. And Eudoxia gave to herself the title Augusta. Augustine, Augustus, you know, the emperor. She was kind of the power behind the throne. And she was an incredibly self-consumed woman. And repeatedly, St. John would, in his homilies from the cathedral, not directly but indirectly challenge not only her, but the ways in which the wealthy were living with no concern for the poor. Well, she'd had enough of him, so she commanded her husband, Arcadius, to send John into exile. But the day after he was sent into exile, there was an earthquake in Constantinople. And Eudoxia thought, uh-oh, maybe this is divine retribution. So she said to her hubby, bring him back. Well, things went okay for the next 2 months, but then, horror of horrors, 2 months later, this Eudoxia, this Augusta, set up a statue of herself right outside of the cathedral where St. John was the bishop. And it caused such a riot that it disrupted the divine liturgy that was taking place inside of the cathedral. So a few days later, it was on the feast day of the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist, the 29th of August, St. John thundered from his pulpit these words directed at Eudoxia. Again, Herodias raves. Again, she is troubled. She dances again and again, desires to receive John's head on a platter. Well, that was enough of St. John in the eyes of Eudoxia, so she said to hubby, get rid of him. And what the emperor tried to do, he tried to ban him from his church. He tried to ban him from preaching, but John just kept on going, kept on going, kept on going, until the Easter Vigil the following year, when the emperor sent troops into the cathedral, and his people had been baptized into the faith, others were baptized into death. Blood flowed in the cathedral on that day, and St. John was sent into exile in eastern Turkey, where he spent the last couple of years of his life. He died in the year 407, actually on the 14th of September, but because tomorrow is the feast day of the Holy Cross, his feast day has been moved one day earlier so that we can remember this remarkable man. His last words were supposedly, glory to God for all things. Now here's the beautiful ending to this story. Remember I mentioned the hapless emperor, Arcadius? Well, he died a few months after John, and just after John had been sent into exile, the Eudoxia, the wife, died as she was giving birth to a son. But the person who became emperor after, of course, was the son. and his name was Theodosius II. And when the relics of St. John were brought back to Constantinople, Theodosius II, the emperor, put his head on the reliquary and he begged forgiveness for the sins of his parents. John was buried ultimately in the Church of the Holy Apostles, next to the remains of St. Andrew, Luke, Timothy, and the Emperor Constantine. His hope was in Christ. Oh, he also suffered from a lifelong ailment of the stomach that caused him great physical pain. Strengthened by the example of his invincible patience. And let me conclude with what St. Paul said in today's reading from Timothy, which could be St. John's words. I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. St. John Chrysostom, pray for us.